We'll call this meeting to order. It's the 24th of February, and it's about 8:42. And this is the Subcommittee on Arts and Education under the E-12 Education Committee. And I want to thank the members for coming. These subcommittee meetings, sometimes it's difficult to generate attendance, and this is a better start than we have some days at the education meeting. So I appreciate that. I want to thank Senator Stumpf also for giving us some of his committee time so we can do this. You know, about a year ago, we got started when the legacy money started to pool, and we in committee talked about what we might be able to do in the education committee with some of that legacy money. And then Senator Stumpf created this subcommittee, and we started to have hearings. We invited a lot of people in that first couple meetings to the table to talk about what they were already doing with arts and education. But then we kind of heard a recurring theme about integrating arts into education. And Senator Olson and Senator Rummel, I think, kind of drove that car eventually, that we had to find a way to incorporate those disciplines of the arts into our regular education system. And then they kind of came to the conclusion that we had a state agency that was already maybe doing that, and we could kind of put more on their plate. And so today we want to see what they've done with that directive. And Pam Paulson, I'll ask you to come, whoever's...
And Sue Backer.
And Sue, okay. We'll get you to the table, and this is not expected to take very long, but we would like to see kind of what you've done with the initiative that we gave you a year ago. So welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the committee.
Good morning. My name is Sue Mackert, and I'm proud to say I'm the executive director of the Perfect Center for Arts Education. Mr. Chair and esteemed members of the Senate E-12 Education Budget and Policy Division Subcommittee on Arts Education, we're very proud that you have filled our plate, and trust me, you have filled our plate. A few months ago, you invited the Perfect Center to help shape the future of arts education for Minnesota's K-12 students. We listened to your desire and your enthusiasm to invest funds from the constitutional amendment for long-term impact, and we observed your keen sensitivity to the role of arts education in our schools and the resulting effects on student learning, achievement, and equity. You were diligent in your support of including the Perfect Center in the legacy funds, and for that we are deeply grateful. Each day as we help teachers and we teach students, we are reminded of the powerful role the arts play in K-12 education, and we take that responsibility ever so serious. Today, Dr. Pamela Paulson, Senior Director of Policy of the Perfect Center, will share with you a synopsis of our direction and our progress. We're very proud to be partners with you in creating a legacy of arts education that will propel Minnesota students as skilled, productive citizens of the 21st century. And with that, I'll turn it over to Dr. Paulson, and following the presentation, we are available for any questions you may have.
Thank you. Ms. Paulson?
I'm Pam Paulson from the Perfect Center for Arts Education. Thank you for having us this morning, and thank you for coming so early for this presentation. We've been calling this a legacy project because we do think it will leave a legacy for Minnesota students, and we know that you already know this. During the 2009 session, you allocated $1 million from the Constitutional Legacy Funds to the Perfect Center for Arts Education, and over the biennium, that turns out to be $300,000 the first year and $700,000 the second year. It was your Arts Education Working Group that asked us to serve Minnesota schools through a pilot arts integration project. So that is on the books, but you're going to hear us talk about actually two projects. You asked us to provide teacher professional development. Am I in your way at all? Are you able to see good? You asked us to do some curriculum development so that there are some products that come out of this and some online dissemination of the work that's going on in both of these projects. So more specifically, you asked us to create a transformational project with high impact on student learning. And I think that's a real key for us. This is about the academic achievement of kids in the K-12 system. You wanted it to be long-term and sustainable, and one of the best ways to do that is to be working with the teachers that are going to be around for a while. You wanted it to ensure that there was equity and access for kids across our state, that we were addressing some of the achievement gaps because the arts can help keep kids in school. And incorporate, this was very clear on your part, you wanted us to incorporate standards and research. So, as Senator Scogin said, we're the state agency for K-12 arts education, and we do have an expectation in our statute already to serve students all over Minnesota, and we've over the years prepared some tools and infrastructure, and we are so happy that we have the connections both at the state level and the national level to really create some national networks to deliver high-quality programs. So we discussed with you the idea of this arts integration project, but remember we also said that we don't have very much information on the status of arts education or really the needs or wants. We've been really good at programming a lot of very, very, very successful programs, but what we want to do now is be more targeted, and we really wanted to start off with reliable data. So in order to understand what the areas need, the teachers and the students, we want to do a study of the status of arts education in Minnesota. And we are going to then do this study, which we're calling a census, and it has three elements to it. So when we go a little bit further, you'll know there's two projects, the Arts Integration Project and the Census, and each one of them has sort of three components to them. Lucky for us, we've been able to engage an advisory committee that Senator Rummel sits on, and that committee involves the Department of Ed. We've got at least three members from the University of Minnesota, the College of Visual Arts in St. Paul, the Improve Research Group, and then these are professional organizations, the community, the Communications and Theater Association. The St. Paul Conservatory is the charter school in downtown St. Paul, and we've got St. Paul Public Schools, director of their arts programs. The Main Street School is the charter school in Hopkins. We've got the Minnesota Orchestra, St. Cloud University's dean of the College of Fine Arts, Minnesota Elementary Principals and Secondary Principals, Parents United, and the Lake Country ECSU. And we've had one meeting. So this will be the beginning. You get a little bit of a sense of the goal for this study. Oh, shoot. I've got to turn the sound down on this.
Did I hear a dog bark?
No, but it was a car screeching in. Mike, where's Mike? Can you turn the volume down?
I was going to look under the table.
Because they get worse. If I don't turn the sound down, all these sounds start to happen.
Ms. Paulson, maybe while we're doing that, on that advisory group, is that designed out? Is that something the Purpich School has done with other advisory groups, or is it designed in the same way, or?
In the early days of the Purpich Center, we actually had in legislation an advisory group, and probably Senator Olson remembers this, it was the Resource Center, and it had an official advisory group on it, and we convened that for many years on a regular basis to get advice from the field. And then sort of those standing committees were all disbanded at a certain point when legislation came in and said you can't have these standing and ongoing groups. Did you find it?
No. Oh, no.
You're going to really not like this.
Do you want us to call for technical?
Probably not, but just get ready for this. Okay.
Just pretend it is me.
So then we quit doing it on a formal basis. And depending on the project that we're working on, we sometimes bring them this. The group that you just saw on this list is more reminiscent of how we were working in the past, and we're really happy to bring that back.
Okay.
It's okay.
We're all right. We'll expect it now.
All right, it has three elements, and here's the first one. And the first one is a pilot study on the arts integration piece. And we want to look at the public and private schools just in one region of the state in preparation for the full study. And what I think you'll be interested in knowing is that we are working with a contractor who has begun to do these status of arts education studies in Wisconsin and Oklahoma and Arizona and New Hampshire, New Jersey and Ohio. And so this group is starting to get a national picture of what's going on just because of the number of states they're working with. And nobody in any of these states so far has included any questions about arts integration. So all they're getting is if there's an arts specialist in the building, what's happening with arts education that way. So we're going to be the first ones that bring forward some initial questions about arts integration into the full study. The second element is to look at the school districts that we at the Purpich Center have worked with over time, over at least the last 5 years, and take a closer look at what the impact's been from our programming in these schools and districts. And then the third element is what we're calling the census, and it's the comprehensive statewide study of all Minnesota public and private and charter schools to produce this baseline data about arts education access, equity, and quantity, including arts integration.
So now we'll back up to that
you bet.
A little bit.
This one?
Yes, this one. Talk to who is this? What are you going to get out of this little piece?
What will we get out of the census?
Who are you going to be serving? Is it every school? I mean, tell
it
us.
It is.
Every single
it
school.
Is. And because we have the Department of Ed on that advisory group, we asked them, do you have contact information for the principal at every school? And they said no. They always go to the superintendent level, which we will need to be in touch with. The superintendent, as a courtesy, needs to know and may even have some information. But we want this information to be at the school level, which requires us to go to the principals. And because we have the elementary principals and the secondary principals on our advisory group, they have offered to get us the email addresses for every principal in the state so that we can get this survey to everybody.
Follow up, Senator Rummel.
And what will you be asking them?
We will ask them questions like, how many of your students are actually receiving arts education classes? What do those classes look like? Are they weekly? Are they monthly? Are they a block that happen only one time a year for a month? Which art areas are they in? Do you include arts integration in your program? Are your teachers qualified, licensed? So it's this big picture of what the status looks like across the state for how many students are served, how many teachers are teaching, what kinds of courses they're taking, how much time they're spending, what their facilities are including. And it will also help us know about the standards, because there's no accountability system in our state for arts education. Although there are standards, there's no system of accountability. So we'll be getting a little glimpse into, do they assess the standards? Do they even implement the standards?
Senator Olson?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Ms. Paulson, what do you, what meaning do you give to arts integration, and do the principals have a concept of what that is? If you're asking for integration, do they have a picture of what that looks like as to whether it is a part of anything in their building?
Ms. Paulson?
Thank you, Senator Scogin. Senator Olson, that's a wonderful question, because this is very kind of new territory, and I have been starting to do some research on different definitions of arts integration, and there are a lot of different definitions. So in our advisory committee meeting, we brought this up, and we said, do you have some advice for us how we try to do this, because it's breaking new ground, we've never done it before. And one of the researchers said, I wouldn't try to define it, because it's very possibly very different in each school. What she suggested we do is ask for information about how it might look. So you're not saying, this is what it is, and are you doing it or aren't you doing it? You're saying, do you provide planning time for teachers to come together and plan common lessons that integrate the arts with other subject areas? Do you provide a budget for other activities that are multiple teachers and classes together that do? And so they started to ask us to think about what are some of the what it might look like. Then they could answer and say, oh yeah, we do that and we do this, but we don't do that. And then we might be able to come up with sort of a picture of what we're doing in Minnesota. But that's a really, really important question, because it's new territory.
Senator Saxhawk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When we're talking about arts education, the definition of arts is, and when you're talking to these principals, it includes drawing pictures, does include music,
yep,
and theater, and mm-hmm. What? And those are generally the things that we're talking about, or?
Well, at the Purpose Center, at the Purpose Center, from the very beginning, we've had 6 art areas, and they include dance, music, theater, visual arts, which is the drawing and the painting and the sculpture, media arts, which is photography and video, and literary arts.
Okay.
When we went to the new revision of the standards in 2003, Commissioner Yuckey took the literary arts out and put that into the English language arts. Even though our center continues to have literary arts as an art form in the state system now, literary arts is with English language arts, and so we're really at five. So in the legislation about the arts requirements, you'll only see five. So now let's scoot to the second one, which is the arts integration pilot project. And we have a big overarching goal for that. And that's to increase student achievement by incorporating the arts as a vital strategy for improving learning and teaching. And I know that is a quote from one of you in this committee, and it was probably Senator Rummel who said that. But somebody did, because the goal just was powerfully clear. Maybe it was Senator Olson. It was very clear to us what you were hoping for. And I know Senator Stumpf one time asked me if there were standards or some kind of indicators for the best professional development. And we are, as a field, getting much, much better about understanding what is required for good teacher professional development. And the research is resoundingly clear now that the most important factor in increasing student achievement is the teacher, the quality of the teacher in the classroom. So we feel like that's where we can have the best impact. And it won't just be for these teachers to teach in one subject area, because this is an arts integration project. This should increase their capacity in any discipline that they're teaching, because they'll come up with some new tools and strategies and ways to think about student achievement and assessment. So this is huge for the project, is that it will be based on teacher professional development. So we will use the arts across the curriculum. So this is a beginning of a sort of a definition of arts integration with subjects like math, reading, writing, science, social studies, physical education, world languages, whatever. You'll see an interesting comment from our focus groups on this topic in just a second. And we also want to combine those arts areas, because sometimes you'll find that students really have an interest in multiple art areas. They don't want to just do music. They also want to be able to do dance, play the guitar, draw. So we're going to try to integrate both among other subjects and within the arts. And so our first outcome, there are three, is to establish these networks of teachers in a region of the state, also including some artists, with professional development as our goal, especially around standards-based arts integration. So the standards are going to be key for us. And the second one is to demonstrate models, because it won't look the same in every school, that can be implemented in the school with some coaching and facilitating, then documented and disseminated to other schools, probably online. Okay.
That was a good one.
Getting worse.
That's you getting the parking lot. Third outcome is to connect and align resources in the region. Now, we've had a goal somewhat like this over the years and have found it very, very hard to do. So we are going to put real effort toward this idea in the region now, where we're going to try to say, is there an arts organization already working? Is there an after-school program? Is there a museum? How can we congeal all of these resources for the benefit of the kids and combine the community resources with the school resources? So remember now, in the study, the first census part, there were three parts, and the first part was to study the arts integration in one region of the state, and we already did some focus groups. So you're going to see the results, the very preliminary results, is that the teachers and administrators, because we did both, we had committee meetings with administrators and teachers. Everybody told us that arts and integration results in more student learning. They believe that clearly spelled out academic standards are important for arts integration to be successful. That would not be on this list 10 years ago. Nobody would have thought to say that the basis of your integration is what are the kids supposed to be learning in these multiple disciplines. But that's described in the standards, and now we've got that. They love the idea that students can use multiple modalities to learn. So if they're learning geometry, and I've got a video of this in our own school, of the Purbridge Center teaching geometry with dance, you can see how they're using the floor space, the pathways, to understand using different modalities to understand the learning. They certainly are more engaged. They're hands-on, they're busy, they're creating something, they're thinking, and so they are more engaged in their learning. They believe that it needs to be a partnership between the subject matter teacher and the arts teacher or whatever group of teachers. It's got to be a partnership. And that requires planning. They need planning time, and that requires some way to be excused out of their classroom to get some of that time together, which maybe is the cost of a substitute. It can be done, they believe it can be done in all subject areas, and it requires a budget, as well as this last one I loved. Generally, communities that are supportive of the arts are also supportive of arts integration. So sometimes in the past there's been a disagreement about should you even move to arts integration because will that actually take away jobs from the arts teachers because the classroom teachers will be picking up the arts teaching. So once we get out into that region, we've finished the focus groups, now we're getting ready for a survey, we will use the results of that to pick 5 to 8 schools that will be part of the project in the fall. We picked the region, which is the Lakes Country, EXU, in the northwest area because it's rural, and we wanted to be able to show that arts integration can happen in a rural area. There's tons of resources in the Twin Cities, and a lot of arts integration goes on here, but we wanted to work in a rural area. We know that we've worked in that area before with high poverty schools. EXU has great communication, efficient communication. They're one of the best for getting to all of the schools and having a system to do that. They've shown us serious implementation of the art standards. They have been working with professional development, and they have a very active arts community with partners. Now, you know this already, that the new Minnesota Academic Standards in the Arts will be required for implementation next year. They went through a revision. The Purpich Center worked with the Department of Ed, and we have a new set that is really, I think, an improvement over the last set. So schools need to do this next fall. And this is a very clear set of learning targets for the students. When Senator Saxhog asked about what were the arts areas, and I said media arts, well, it is now K-12 in the new standards, whereas the old standards, media arts, was only at the high school level. So that's a big change because the little ones are probably better than us. If a lot of that media arts technology. The legislature required the inclusion of technology in the new standards, and we put forward an effort to say that there should also be some health and safety standards. And then you also know that you included the Minnesota American Indian Tribes and Communities that needs to be in all the standards, and we were the first set to do the new standards, so we now have included the Minnesota American Indian Tribes. You are requiring reports March 1st, next Monday, this year, and then January 15th of 11. This is our timeline. We are planning to do gathering of data that exists at the Department of Ed, the Board of Teaching, the personnel licensing, between October and now. And then we are implementing between December and June elements 1 and 2. We convened our advisory group in January. We're just about to hire some facilitators and planners, and then we'll get together and we'll work hard between probably March and September to be ready to work with the schools that are selected. We'll develop a process to select those schools. We'll invite the schools in April and May. We'll hire a program evaluator so we get some data about how things are going for the teachers and students, and we will implement next fall. And then we will also be working on the huge statewide study, Element 3, next fall through December of 11. So you probably get a sense that this is about increasing access, equity, and quantity of arts education. We're trying to be very careful to do a good job to meet your expectations, and we will try to design it and refine it over the next several months in the hopes that maybe additional funds could be seen in the next biennium to reach more kids, because we're going to focus in that one area this time and hopefully do a really solid job that will also produce some work that can go online so that it will be shared more broadly. So with that, we're open for questions.
Ms. Paulson, do you see, as the pilot project comes to a close in that first place, then you, they are able to sustain themselves somehow, and then you move to another area or start
that,
another project, or?
That is a very important consideration, because that's why the teacher professional development is so useful. When if we can't stay there over a longer period of time, those teachers will have learned how to do this, and they're partnering with somebody, so those pairs should know something about how to do this. The truth of the matter is that over the years, we have found that it's very, very hard for a new project to gain the full momentum and sustainability in less than 5 years. It's very hard to keep it sticking if you walk away after a year or 2 years. So I'm sure that our hope will be that we can continue working in some fashion, maybe not as intensely afterwards, but because we know that, I think we'll need to find ways to keep working at least for a while with those teacher networks, even if we start a new one someplace else.
One of the challenges has to be that the faces in those districts change, too.
That's a huge issue.
Start through the process, they're not all going to be there after 5 years.
That's a huge issue. The mobility of teachers from school to school, the retirements that are picking up, and that's another reason it's hard to find the continuity over time. One of the nice things, though, is that when they've gotten this experience, say they move to another school, well, then hallelujah. They can probably do something in that school, too. But there is a real exodus of some of the fine and more senior teachers at this point. So you have to keep at it. It sort of reminds me of the legislature, where there's elections and you think people know what this work is, and then you find out they've never, you know, been informed of it, and you start that education process again. And it's sort of cyclical for us, too.
Senator Rummel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dr. Paulson, going back to your statement about the central role of teachers, are you thinking that somehow, sometime, somewhere, we're going to be able to take what you learn from this and integrate it into teacher preparation programs so that the expectation and principal preparation leadership things, so that that becomes an expectation from the very training of our teachers that these modalities will be very important to their success.
Ms. Paulson?
Senator Rummel, that is a dream that we will work on very hard during the course of this project, and it's one of the main reasons that the advisory committee includes the people at the university in those teacher preparation programs. We have the head of the dance and theater program, the head of curriculum and instruction for visual arts, and we have the head of the music school. All of those programs are preparing future teachers. St. Cloud State is one of the biggest producers of teachers, and we have their dean of the fine arts programs as well, in the hopes that as they think about this, they'll be thinking how their own teacher preparation programs need to be changed. And we have had success with that already. Mike Hyatt, who's sitting back here, regularly meets with the teacher preparation programs of the colleges and universities about music preparation. I have done that in dance, and we have found that there has been huge change in, for example, Mankato State University's dance program was completely redone once there were standards for K-12 education, because they felt they needed to prepare their teachers to deliver those standards. It's happening. It has happened less with the administrators, and I'm hoping, and actually one of our most enthusiastic members of the committee was Fred Storty, who is the executive of the elementary principals. He is a huge supporter of this, and I think he sees this as a very critical piece for all elementary administrators. And then Joanne Knuth will be there for the secondary level, and she too is a tremendous supporter. So I think when we get models and they can see what it looks like for kids, and it's based on standards, then they'll be able to go in and say, well, this is what we need to do to prepare. And there actually is language in the licensure descriptions for the elementary teachers that they have to have a certain amount of arts competency before they can get their license. I don't know that it's being fully implemented, but it is in there in the language, and that's good.
Senator Olson.
Well,
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Ms. Paulson. That was my point. That do pay attention as standards for teacher licensure come up for revision. We've just been through this with a very major effort in the teaching of reading.
Yes.
In the preparation of teachers. And that is important because it's a way to work that's generally been controlled, if you will, by the teacher education institutions themselves. And so it's important that process either be intercepted if necessary, or that they be brought up to speed to be sure that those, especially the concepts of the integration and how to do that, if there's elements that are addressed in the standards. And administrators too.
Yeah.
That comes up on a regular basis. So I hope that through the organizations that are on your advisory committee, as well as your own intervention, when you see that these are coming up, get somebody to volunteer to be on their task force or their preparation, because that can make all the difference in the world.
Ms. Paulson, when we do pilots and we do studies, and it always concerns me, we spend a lot of money sometimes and a silo is built and nobody else sees that information. Does the Purpose Center have a plan to send that out to people who are interested in what you found out?
Senator Scogin, it is definitely part of our plan. The group that we've hired called Quadrant Research for Arts Education will build a website. That's how the data will be shaped from the study. That will be, it'll be on our Purpose Center website, but it'll be very, very accessible. It'll be a public warehouse of data, and it will allow them to see a picture, probably graphically, with some charts and data that is very clear about what it looks like statewide. And then the other part about the pilot of the arts integration is that we're hoping to put a lot of that online. We know, and studies are also showing, that there's a hope that teachers prefer some face-to-face and some online. They don't want to do the whole thing online. So we're going to have to design some ways that we can continue to work with them both online and in some ways to convene them.
Other questions? Thanks for the report.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for the work. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We are adjourned.